This is what happens. So on the spreadsheet, on your model, you're able to adjust that loss to lease over time, right? So maybe it's at 15% now, but your goal is to get it down to zero or as close to possible to zero by the time you sell. Effectively means that you're growing rents by 15%.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everyone? You know the drill. Every Monday, we're coming at you with all things multifamily real estate investing. Bring on guests. We have shows where we bring on awesome rock stars that are just killing it in the real estate investing space, typically from, you know, the lens of a multifamily investor, but sometimes we'll bring on other asset class investors as well. And then sometimes it'll be just a solo show, me talking to you about my experience, what I've learned from doing this business. And that's what today is going to be. It's going to be a solo show. This one's going to be real quick. But before I get into that, housekeeping as always, as you all know, I don't make any money off of this show. I'm trying to get it out to more and more people and trying to help anyone who wants to get in this game, whether it's from an active standpoint or a passive standpoint. It's important to educate yourself whether you're going to do either thing, right? Obviously, you got to educate yourself if you want to take an active role in real estate investing, but you also need to educate yourself if you want to take a passive approach to it. And for those that aren't familiar with the term passive, what generally that means is, you know, you're investing in an offering from someone maybe like myself or another operator who has a property under contract, and then they present this offering to their investors and the investor can choose to invest, and you know, they fill out paperwork, wire their money, and then the operator operates the investment, the opportunity for them, and they get some type of return out of it. But it's important for those individuals to learn as well, because they need to know, obviously, one, who is a good operator, who's not. And your only way you're going to figure that out before jumping in is to educate yourself. And then also, once you're in a deal, kind of need to know a little bit of the lingo, look at income statements and balance sheets to know what's going on, right? And anytime you have questions, you need to be able to ask those educated questions, and you need to do that by educating yourself. So I think it's important for both parties. So the point of that is, in order to get in front of more eyes and ears, I need you to share the show. So if you get value out of this, please share it with someone who you think could also get value from the show. That could be by just telling a friend, family member, hey, check this show out. Send them a text message with a link, email. Could be you sharing something on your social media accounts. Also, if you haven't left a rating or review, please do so. That also helps us get to the top and get in front of more ears. All right, solo show. It's going to be all things. Well, not all things. It's going to be a specific part of underwriting. And I've recently seen a mistake come through when I get others sending me their underwriting to look at deals. It's easy to make this mistake. So this is not, obviously not bashing anyone. It's really easy to make this mistake. And especially if you're using a tool that like a model, an analyzer, whatever you want to call it, that's not yours. And so it's easy to make that mistake. And so what I'm seeing is the use of loss to lease and rent growth. And then for those that aren't familiar with the terms, loss to lease is when you look at gross potential rents, meaning what is market rent? So in a specific market, what is that top dollar you get for a one bed, a two bed, a three bed, and so on, right? What is that top market rent you could get for that? Maybe it's a B-class property. Say it's $1,500 for a two bed, let's just say, in your market. And the current property is only charging $1,000 for their two beds. And maybe to get there, you need to do some renovations to be able to charge that $1,500. But the loss to lease is that difference between the market rent of $1,500 and what the property is currently charging at $1,000. So $500 is the loss to lease on that one unit. Multiplied by how many units, that's going to be your total loss to lease. And so what a lot of calculators or a lot of models do is they have that loss to lease, right? So let's say, just throw a random percentage out there. Let's say it's 15% loss to lease on this property you're looking at. And so what people are doing is then the rent growth, which is pretty self-explanatory. That's how much do you think you can grow rent when you hold the property? And that's from forced appreciation, from doing renovations. that is just getting the rent up to market, because maybe even at the quality that the unit is currently at, it could be still making more. But what I'm seeing people do is this is what happens. So on the spreadsheet, on your model, you're able to adjust that loss to lease over time, right? So maybe it's at 15% now, but your goal is to get it down to zero or as close to possible to zero by the time you sell. So what does that effectively mean? That effectively means that you're growing rents by 15%, because, right, you're at a 15% loss compared to market rent. So you're going to increase your current rent 15% to get it up to market. And so what I'm seeing people do is they're decreasing that loss to lease, but they're also on the same units. Maybe their rent growth that they think they can get is 10%, then adding 10% to the same unit. So that effectively means is those units are getting double counted. So you've got the 15% loss to lease. You're going to reduce that to zero. So that's 15% growth for those units. And then you're adding a 10% rent growth on that. So that's effectively a 25% rent growth. And yeah, last year, 2021, some markets saw some ridiculous rent growth like that. But you should never be underwriting like that. That was unprecedented times. And so what you're seeing is people are double counting those units. So, and on top of that, you factor in 2 to 4%, you know, organic growth from inflation. Just over time, every year you're increasing rents 2 to 4%, because that's what you do. That's going along with inflation. And on top of that, 25%, you're adding another 2 to 4%. So you're getting 27 to 29% rent growth effectively. And those units are getting double counted. And it's easy to do that when you're not really, maybe you're not used to that, the loss to lease, and you're not really thinking in too much detail how it's affecting every individual unit, right? So then you're getting some of these crazy return projections, right? Of course you would, because 25 to 29% rent growth, that's amazing, right? So what you have to do, and this is obviously technical if you're not good with Excel or creating spreadsheets, and I will preface this with saying that my partner and I have been building our own out, and we're going to be offering it to anyone who wants it, probably some small fee just because there's hours and hours in it. And also just from a contractual standpoint, we had charged something. So I digress from that. But the point is, what you have to do is you have to separate the units that you're doing renovation, separate the units that are just getting a rent bump to bring up to market that don't need renovation. And then obviously everything, once they get to that mark, can then get the organic rent growth going forward. And most spreadsheets, people are not doing that. So they're double and triple counting effective rent growth for the units. And it's not giving you a realistic picture. And so you have to go in and say, we're doing 50 units, we're doing renovations, and we're decreasing the loss to lease by X. And then these units that we're not really doing much CapEx other than just a turn to clean it up and get it ready. And then that's getting this rent growth. And then obviously, then there's the organic rent growth. And then that all comes together. And obviously, I'm pulling a random number out of my head, but the effective rent growth is probably closer to 10% for 10 to 12% for that a given year. Obviously, not every year, right? But when you're doing a lot of the work, and 10 to 15% is a big difference from 29. The two big levers, in my opinion, when you're underwriting, is obviously that rent growth. What are you growing rents by? That's going to make a huge difference. And then your exit cap. That's the other lever that you can, even just decreasing it by 0.5% can make a big difference, can make a deal that's not a deal to a deal that is a deal. So I just want to get here real quickly and share that. We've seen that come through several times recently. And I just want people to protect themselves, protect their investors. And that's just, it's just such an easy mistake to make, right? Especially if it's not your model and you're just plugging numbers in and you know, you're thinking like, well, someone else uses this and they've done well, so this must be right. And yes and no, right? Like, I'm sure the model's fine, but it all depends on the user and how they're using it, the inputs they put in. And if you don't come from the world of finance, not that you have to, I'm not saying that, but some of the terms like loss to lease, you might not be familiar with it and really grasp how it can drastically affect deal, especially when you combine it with a rent growth factor on the same units. Essentially, you're double counting. And then you've got the organic rent growth as well. So I just want to get out here and share that. I don't want anyone making those mistakes over the past few years. I'm sure people have been doing it because they're doing it now. They're probably doing it before, but the unprecedented times we've had with this crazy appreciation in real estate has kind of covered those errors, right? But going forward, you guys know where we're at in the world and the economy. I don't see those type of errors being covered, at least not in the near future, not in the next few years. It's really going to come down to sound underwriting and operations, buying at the right price. All right, everybody. I just wanted to make this a quick one, share with you something I've been seeing, so you don't go out there and make that mistake, because I don't want to see that. Obviously, if you guys have any questions, you want to further dig into stuff, I love talking this stuff. So reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram at SeanWinslow, or just search Sean Winslow on LinkedIn. Those are the two places that you can connect with me, and I'm on the most, and we can chat. So love to do so. As always, thanks for tuning in. And easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So get out there and not only work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so you can create the life of your dreams. Then we can all go out there and make the world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.